Hey, folks, don't get excited. It's not a jar episode. It's not a Josh and Rob episode. We just want to introduce you to something we find very exciting. Josh, this was your idea. I think it's brilliant.
I want to share because we've been working hard on You Gotta Be Kidding Me, the new Tony and Gary project.
Yeah, Tony Perkins and Gary Stein. I call them Perkinstein.
And I know it's Tuesday, and we don't record the show until this afternoon at 3 p.m. for the Michael Mara show.
3 o'clock, we will be live. But until then, what will you do?
Right. That messes up your morning commute. So we've got something else for you.
This is a current episode, not the current episode, but an episode from a week or so past of Tony and Gary doing You Gotta Be Kidding Me. This is a really fun one. We really enjoyed this episode. Take a listen to it if you like it, and you will. All you have to do is subscribe to You've Got to Be Kidding Me. There'll be a new episode today, and you can check that out. And, of course, the Mike O'Mara Show returns live in your ears today at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, I'm Tony.
I'm Gary.
And on this episode of You Gotta Be Kidding Me, one of our favorite episodes from Good Morning America.
What do you hear about it?
Yeah, it's great. Also, funny thoughts about death. And what's new with Nicole Scherzinger?
Oh, yeah. Stop that. Stop that.
All right. It's all coming up next on You Gotta Be Kidding Me.
Okay, here we go.
It's You Gotta Be Kidding Me with Tony Perkins and Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. And now, here's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and germs. It's You Gotta Be Kidding Me. I'm Tony.
I'm Gary.
Gary, that's right.
That's it. That's it.
I'm Line. And it is episode 8 of You Gotta Be Kidding Me. So you notice that time I refrained from trying to do the drum roll there because I'm just so bad at it. So
Yes. Can I just say something about Line? Just quickly.
Yes.
So I was stage managing a show with Paul Sorvino directing. We were walking down the street. Paul Sorvino, the actor, and he directed this play, and he's gone now. So he's now dead, Paul Sorvino. But we were walking down the street, and he was saying to me, "You know how actors read a script?" And I said, "No, I don't know what you mean." And he goes, "Oh," so he makes believe he's thumbing through a script, and he goes, "Bullshit, my line." And I said, "What about you?" He goes, "That's exactly how I read a script."
That's great.
You just reminded me of that.
All just looking for their part. Oh, that's perfect.
You know what? Not for you, Tony, but for me, that's going to play a lot.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Nice job, Rob Spiewak. Rob Spiewak. I see dead people. That is funny. Welcome to episode 8.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us once again. Don't forget, tell your friends, tell your neighbors. We're trying to get to that magic number of 75,000 listeners. And I estimate that at this rate, it will take 17 years. But we'll get there.
We'll still be doing the show, so it's fine. Yeah,
right.
It's not about how long it takes, right?
Right. It may be a little slower when we're doing the show. But all right, so Gary, now you've got the green screen up, so I know you're going to bring us something wonderful. I will say once again, you look good. The green screen looks good.
I don't look good, Tony.
You do look good.
No,
and I know this is important to you. That's why. And I'm not making it up.
No, you're very nice about it. But like, I'm not looking at the green screen. I'm looking at this. Like, I could make believe that this is about lighting. It's not about lighting. It's not. It's starting to go. I'm not happy about it. Yeah. There's not much, you know. But I came into the studio with this today, and I'm like,
that is so loud.
I'm sorry. I want you to tell me
after
if this...
people get up off the floor.
Right, because if you're listening, that was so
I'm
loud.
Sorry.
It's a roll of strapping tape.
Remember, I don't know enough about the technology of radio as Rob and Tony. So if I make a faux pas, it's that I just don't have the experience. But
so for our listeners, let me just tell them, you have just taken a strip of strapping tape. Is that what it's called, Rob?
Yes, packing tape. Yeah.
Packing tape. And you've wrapped it around your neck.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
but that actually looks better.
It does, but I can't breathe.
Well, you got to do what you got to do the show.
So. All right. So you're suggesting sacrifice, right?
And it will be a sacrifice.
Yes. That is funny. Now, wait. I'm warning everybody that I'm taking it off.
Okay. It probably
I don't
won't
know
sound
if we will
loud.
Have reverse.
Now, wait a minute. What, so this could be, I mean, you could be injured here when you do this. Based
I hope
on,
so. Yeah.
So let's see if any skin comes off when you do it.
If I get injured, am I able to sue Rob since he's our producer?
Yeah, I got good injured. Luck with that.
It's workman's comp, Rob.
Right? Yeah, you know what 15% of nothing is?
Well, there's always a first. Okay, I'm going to make some noise.
Okay, let's see.
It's
what
not
happens.
Gas or anything, okay?
Let's see what happens. Is it bad that I'm secretly hoping a little skin comes off?
Yes. Okay. It's really bad.
I'm just hoping for a clean, close shave.
All right. Let's...
All right.
Oh, did that hurt?
No. Are you disappointed?
No.
I think you are. I can do it again.
Oh, no. That is funny. That is fun. Well, you know what? That I wonder if people have done that because
they
the
have.
Taping does really. The taping
actresses
does.
Have taped up their eyes.
Wow!
And then had makeup covered, but now they just have surgery.
Yeah, they have surgery, and I remember they used to use gauze sometimes for like on the camera, like that soft lens or Vaseline on the camera or something like that.
Yeah, the Sybil Shepherd effect for moonlighting.
Yes,
they
yes.
use that a lot. But right. also a few years ago, obviously before he passed, Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens did a Christmas special, I think, for Netflix. It's still up there. But there were some paparazzi shots of when they were shooting, and I don't know if they edited this out digitally, but he had taped his face back.
Oh.
Because he had gotten older, and I think Pee Wee was a little heavy,
yeah.
and he was trying to recreate the look. So, Gary, oh. you're in fine company.
Well, that's great. So Pee Wee Herman was now, he wasn't Pee Wee anymore. He was Fatty Herman. And then
Fatty
he,
Herman, that's and then, right.
Now starring Fatty Herman as Pee-wee Herman. Well, that's pretty sad to be photographed that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, and here's my thing. Why does this happen? I know why it happens with the neck, because of gravity and everything.
Right.
But I wish that didn't happen because, and you do see people with the facelifts and everything, but there's not much you can do about this. Although I do think they are starting to do neck lifts too. But
they
is a telltale sign of aging. And I wish it didn't
happen.
It
is. Well, you know, you say it's happening to you. I don't see it at all. I see it on me.
Yeah.
And look. I'm not good with any natural progression of
right.
anything that happens to you as you get older
right.
that I'm not in favor of.
So just do the show like that. And so that part, the waddle, is that what they call it? That's not happening to me, but the filling out here along my, under my chin, that is happening. Why are we pointing out our inaccuracies? Our
is that age or is that dessert?
Well, that's a good question. Okay.
And you know, I have the same battle myself. I
yes.
only ask because
yes.
I can relate.
Yes, for me, you're right. It's dessert.
Okay,
Gary,
so
it's age. For me,
I need
dessert.
To start eating more desserts.
There you go, right. and it'll fill
right?
it out. Yes,
yes.
There you go. You eat too healthily.
Maybe. So if I gain like 30 pounds or so, I'm probably going to look a lot better.
And we'll call you Fatty Stein.
That's right.
All right. What do you got for me on the green screen?
Okay. Well, okay. I just thought I want you to pick.
Okay.
But the first one is really more about just some fun. There's a couple that are just for fun. And then there's one that I think that you may want to do the whole show with, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, I don't know if you remember, but when we were doing Good Morning America, we had Tom the Bicycle Comic on the show who rode his bike cross country several times. And every time he did, he took pictures of signs. Road signs.
I do not remember this.
Why
no.
do you not remember? See, you know what? Worse than my neck is if I lose my memory,
right.
which we're going to do a little bit of.
Yes, we are. Yes,
yeah.
we are.
Okay, so
dead cows on sale here.
He put together a whole journal.
Oh, I do remember this.
Yeah.
Did he do a book? Did he do a book?
He did.
Yes.
He did.
Of
and
signs.
Now, yes. Go ahead.
No, that's of signs that he saw across America. Some mm-hmm. of them just weird, bizarre. Like, what is this talking about?
I have no idea.
Dead cows on sale here.
But you know what's better?
What? Oh, it says always open, and then it says closed.
Yes.
I love that.
And I love that you're explaining it to our listening audience because you are a professional.
Right.
I'm just learning. I'm learning.
That reminds me of a joke. Who did this joke? Oh, Stephen Wright. Remember Stephen Wright?
Yes.
Testicle Festival. Wow. September 16th through the 20th, 1999. Now, that... I had a ball, is what it says. Now, what? So this is about bulls, and maybe this is about what do they call that when they eat
Rocky Mountain oysters?
Mountain oysters.
They call it disgusting.
They're not great. I've sampled. Not great.
Yeah, I would never have one. No. Why? Who would think of eating? Who would look at a bull and go, you know what? I'll bet it's good. Those testicles. You know, it's just bizarre.
Oh boy.
Stephen Wright used to do a joke, if I recall correctly. It was he went up to a store that had a sign said open 24 hours, but when he got there, the owner was closing it up. And Stephen Wright said, I thought you were open 24 hours. And the owner said, not in a row.
Did you love him? Did you love Stephen Wright?
Oh, I love Stephen Wright. He's still alive, but yes, I love Stephen Wright. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah. You know what? So as a former comedian, here's my thing about Stephen Wright, I admire him. We used to have Jackie Martling on the show, Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
Yeah. We still could. Yeah.
We still could, right. Yeah. I thought this about him too. All right, so as a comedian, I would write my act. And I would have it, you know, like on a legal pad, and it's kind of, it's like a rundown, like what we do. Mm-hmm. And as you're doing your act, you're going down it, and you might switch some stuff out mentally and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there's an act there. Stephen Wright, people like him, Jackie the Joke Man Martling, they're just doing jokes. And I always thought, how do you know what you've done and what you haven't done? And if you get distracted by something in the audience or something, how do you remember where to pick up? Because it's just, there are no transitions. It's just jokes.
Right, right. I never understood it. I also don't understand, because, you know, I don't tell a joke. You don't really tell jokes.
Not much.
But
no.
How do you remember? I mean, Jackie remembers every joke he ever heard, right?
Yeah,
and you can just go on and on and on.
Right,
I don't get that.
Yeah, for you know, just remembering jokes.
You made me laugh, Tony, because I'd thought of this in a long time. Stephen Wright actually had a joke. I saw him at the Barnes of Wolf Trap before he broke
goodness.
Fish.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
But he had, like, halfway through his set, he started to tell the same joke again, and then he stopped and said, just making sure you're listening.
That's good.
That's great.
Which is pretty cool and a good way to address what you were saying about
him. Yeah, that's good. We might need to reach out to him because you don't see him much anymore. I assume he's still performing, but I don't know.
He might be I've never heard him on a, well, I have heard him on a talk show, but he might be a very dry guest.
Yeah, you might be right.
You know?
You might be right. So are you going to leave Testicle Festival up?
No. No. No, I'm not. I have one that I think might be your very favorite.
Oh, okay.
And if it is, you're obligated to tell us about it.
Oh, okay. All right. So this is, Gary's putting up a new background on his green screen that he believes is going to be my very favorite. He's leaned over so I can see it, but nothing's coming up. Oh, look at this. Oh, my goodness. So Gary has put up on the screen a picture of myself and Al Roker when I was the weatherman at Good Morning America. Al was the weatherman at the Today Show, still is, obviously. We're at the South Lawn of the White House in front of a bunch of kids. Gary, this is great. This is
great. You're both 12, Tony.
I know. Look at, so Al is heavy at the time, although he had lost weight.
Yes.
He was looking good. Right. I look very like a child with a beard. So this was great. This is one of my favorite things that we ever did when we were working together at Good Morning America. We were, now, let me tell you this. I always remembered this as being at the White House Easter egg roll. Because why else would we have been there together?
That's what it was.
No, it was not. I found out that I was incorrect. And I'll tell you why I found this out. 2 years ago, when I joined NBC4 here in Washington, where I'm the morning anchor, one of the morning anchors. Thank you very much. This is a special report. No, sorry. Don't want to alarm anybody. We went up to the Today Show and sat down with Savannah and Hoda and Al and did cut some promos. You know how sometimes you see the local stations with the national people and, you know, so we did all that. And Al and I, you know, were very friendly and so we did our own separate thing, but we referenced this. Mm-hmm. And so the Today Show said, "Where do you know where that is?" And I said, because we would love to have a clip of that. And so I said it was from one of the White House Easter egg rolls. So they researched, they came back and said, "We can't find it. Are you sure?" So I said, "Well, let me look." So I went online, I Googled, because you can Google everything now, and I Googled because I remembered this was so unusual because we simulcast. Al and I, at your direction, Gary, Al and I were both doing our weathercast. We timed it out. So Al's in one area. I'm in another area. We're both on. He's on NBC. I'm on ABC at the same time. And we timed it out that we were walking towards each other just in time for us to come out of the weathercast, our separate maps, and bump into each other live on the air on Good Morning America and the Today Show. It was the first time those shows had simulcast anything, and I was on his air, and he was on our air, and we just did a little bit and a couple of lines, and it was great. And because it was so unique, and this was at the height of the morning show wars.
Oh, yeah.
It was when Good Morning America was breathing down the neck of the Today Show and coming within a whisper of overtaking them at number one. This made news, and it was on Entertainment Tonight. I think it was on Access Hollywood.
It was in everything, and it was on television at night. It was in Access Hollywood, Entertainment
right.
Tonight.
Right. Yeah. So I remember that part of it. So I searched, Al Roker, Tony Perkins simulcast, and it came right up. And it was, I think, in June of whatever year it was.
Yeah.
And it was
where?
Not. The president, it was President Bush, they had begun a reading initiative for
children.
That
was hers. That was Laura's.
Laura Bush's.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Hence all the children there. And Laura Bush came out and read to the kids and all of that. That's why we were there.
Okay. All right. But it was the White House.
It was the White
House. At least that's the most important thing to me, is that it didn't turn out to be, you know, in the backyard of or Bryant Park in New York.
No.
White House lawn.
So in the photo you've got up on the green screen, you can see, yeah, the White House in the background. And there are, you know, mascots and stuff. So in our mind, because the only time we usually would have been at the White House was the Easter egg roll.
We did that every year.
Every year.
I brought my little kids. Yeah, I don't think Connor was born yet, but
no,
one
he
year.
He wasn't born.
Would you like to see just a little bit more of this? Just a
hair
more?
Yeah. You have video?
I don't know.
Yes.
Let me see.
Tony Perkins!
It's Al Roker! You never know!
It's amazing!
Good to see you!
Talk about physically fit. You look absolutely fantastic.
I want to be able to wear your pants.
Well, we can do that. I referenced physically fit there. Maybe it was a fitness awareness thing. I don't know, but it brought us together.
I think
great.
It was about her book thing.
That's my memory. Yeah.
But he was not yet on his diet, and he was impressed by your physique.
Right. That was, oh my God.
It was
God.
So That's, much fun, wasn't
that
it?
That is fantastic. It was fun, and it was, and it made big news. So that was very thrilling for me because, you know, as part of that team with Charlie and Diane, and I don't remember if Robin was with us at that point because she joined a little bit later, but, you know, they were always being featured on, you know, Diane Sawyer and her interview with so-and-so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So for me to get some attention like that, it was really, really cool. And let me say this, because we have said this about you, Gary Stein, as a producer, and just going after it. So this is amazing that this happened. And you coordinated with whoever the Today Show on-site producer was.
Jonathan Wald was the executive producer.
Walt,
but
right.
It was the producer in the field that agreed that it would be a good idea. You know, there was much more at stake for us than there was for the Today Show.
Well, there's much more at stake for the Today Show.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Right. They're
much
number
more
one.
For us to gain. Yeah.
Right. Why would they put, you know,
a fraction of the people knew me. Everyone knows Al Roker. A fraction of the people knew who I was.
Well, why you're downplaying yourself. But well, that's, you were known all over the country.
Why would we give some shine to ABC Good Morning America?
Don't say shine. Don't say shine. You know, keep this was going well. Don't.
You know. What I mean is, but you and the other guy, you called the respective control rooms, and you essentially convinced them of how unique and funny this would be, and they said yes.
Look,
that's amazing.
I had the idea for this, and thought that nobody would go for it. You loved it. Al loved it. I called our control room. Now, our executive producer, Shelley Ross,
yes,
was in the control room every show and yep, very busy and not necessarily looking to hear from her weather team.
Right.
So I called the control room and I said, I need to talk to Shelley. And somebody said, hold on, Shelley, Gary Snye's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. Why? You know, and she takes the phone. She goes, hello. And I told her, I think that we can do a weather simulcast with Al Roker if you can convince NBC. And she, you know, Shelley was sharp as hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She
oh,
went,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. She pulled this off. She and the executive, Jonathan Wald, they did pull it off. But, you know, I do think that NBC got something great out of it, because even though we were in a ratings war, everybody was talking about it the next day.
That is
so
true.
So how could it be bad for anyone just because we were fighting for first place?
Right. And you're absolutely right. And you know what? For Al Roker, and we've remained friends all these years, for Al Roker, that is certainly a magnanimous thing to do.
Yes.
To, you know, hey, Tony Perkins. And Al knew me because he used to be in Washington as well. In fact, we both started at the same TV station. Our careers have been very parallel, except he's rich and I'm looking for loan consolidation or debt consolidation loans.
Talk to Rob about that.
Okay, right.
Gary, can I ask you a question about the production of that? Because that's a brilliant idea, obviously, it happened of the moment. Who do you call first? Do you speak to Roker first to know that he's into it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you speak to your people first? How do you make it go?
First, you have to make sure that the people that would be involved in this want to do it. I mean, I knew Tony would want to do it, but I didn't know that Roker would want to do it because he's representing the Today Show and they don't really need this. But for Al, it was going to be a really good thing. And Al said, I love it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, how do we pull it off? Because it has to hit on both cameras at both networks at the same second.
Right. This is very difficult.
So I had to ask my executive producer, who had to ask the production team. And all of it had to happen with what we did is we picked which weather hit we would all go to. And we all had to agree that our weather hits would hit at the same time.
And what we did, if you remember, so in the morning show weather hits, Al still does this, you know, you do the national weather and then you say, here's what's happening in your neighborhood.
Yes.
And those are 30 second hits, a set time. So we both threw to the local at the same time so that we would come out at the same time and be walking up next to each other. And I want to say something, Gary, because you said, first you got to make sure Tony and Al want to do it. I do remember this, and there are plenty of things I don't remember, but this was one of those things that you asked me, and I clearly remember this. I thought it was a great idea, and I think I probably said, okay, we'll call Shelley, and good luck. I figured there's no way this is going to happen. And Shelley, to her credit, who super smart, super successful, and you do a great impression of her. You know, Gary and I, we were our own little team on Good Morning America. And, you know, and she pretty much trusted us to do what we were going to do. She kind of, you know, she didn't really think she needed to interact with us all that much. So, yes, Gary would call it, what does he want? You know, and sometimes we wouldn't get what we wanted, but sometimes we would. And, you know, for her to think immediately, oh, good idea.
Well, that's her, right? Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
She would recognize, you know, she came from other places. Like, didn't she work at the Enquirer?
National Enquirer,
she, you know, so what did that teach her? I mean, probably how to finesse, massage, and attack headlines.
Yeah,
and this
was
was a headline like no other headline. It had never been done. And she liked that. She loved challenges. And she was a risk taker.
Yeah.
So I just thought, if I get through to her,
yeah,
I think I'm going to get a good response. Getting through to her was not something I was sure of.
Well, God bless you, man. That's one of my favorite moments ever on TV. And I'm sure yours, too, because it really accomplished something. That is a So, yeah, leave that green screen
I thought
up. That,
you'd like this background.
Right. That's the one I want up. Now, I know I do this every week, folks, and I guess I should stop doing it. Once again, we do have a rundown. This is where we are. But I didn't know that's what you were going to pull out. So that's
you
great.
Know, I think we just know we should know better at this point. The rundown is fine. It's nice to have bullet points.
Yes.
It's nice to have a roadmap.
Yes.
If we were required to get to a destination with our roadmaps, it would never happen.
Right. Where are they? They're supposed to be here on Tuesday.
There was a party. What happened?
Well, that's great.
I just think we shouldn't care.
Yeah.
It's all gonna work.
And you're right. It's always amusing to me. Because let me tell you something, just to pull back the camera a little bit. And those of you who are with us since the last podcast in the 20-teens, this is not something that we do that it's just a fly-by-night thing. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow, and we'll just talk for an hour. We put work into it, thought into it. As you see, we have segments and, sometimes guests and all that kind of stuff. But it's always amusing to me that we put all the work into it. And, Gary and I talk in the days before, and we go over a rundown. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's a real thing. And then we get to the show, and it's just like, okay, why did we do all of that?
Absolutely.
But it's great.
All hell breaks loose.
And that's what we're
looking for. So.
Right. Absolutely right. Okay. So we're a little bit later than usual with this, but we have now decided that we're doing this thing since we last saw you.
Yes.
What has happened?
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Oh, Rob Spiewak. Perfect.
You pulled that right out of your file. What's the matter with you?
Oh, I love that.
I literally dreamed it. That's how it came to me.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I'm horrible when I'm awake, but I dream great ideas.
Well, then why don't you go to sleep now?
Keep talking. We'll see.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
He got you, Gary Stein.
He did. I got a list of other producers here. Wait a minute.
Let's use that every week. I love that. All right. Since we last saw you, I'm going to start out with something. This is not meant to be a downer. It's just very interesting to me, although I don't know what made me think of this. The topic is death. Since we last saw you, during the last week, Gary Stein, and maybe Rob, if you want to participate as well, how many cremations have there been in the U.S. since we last saw you a week ago?
Wow.
Cremations.
Wow. Oh. Rob, feel free, man.
Rob, do you want to take a guess?
Yeah, let's call this segment Hot Topics.
Gary, if you're ever off, Rob's going to fill in.
I would say 1.2 million.
Okay.
Because aren't we, as a country, we have a population of about 300 million, right?
That's right.
So rough math, I mean, if you take one day of that, so... Mm-hmm. I'll give you a flat 1 million, not 1.2, 1 million.
Wow. Okay. And the explanation really wasn't necessary.
Gary, your thought.
Tony, you know... It also reminds me that for you, this is a whole different version of Ashy.
One of the fears of black people being Ashy.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what? That'll be a future since we last saw you. How much lotion have black folks bought during the last week?
Exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry. I used to ask Gary when we were working together before I was going to go out of the air. Like, we'd be out in the field and they're coming to us in a minute. And I would say, oh, I'm ashy. Gary, do you have any lotion? He never had lotion.
No, I would say, for what?
For what? Right, Right. What do you need lotion for?
And you would say, for when you get ashy.
Right. Ashy? I don't get ashy.
What's ashy? So a few days later, I he wasn't in his office. I went out and I bought some moisturizer and I gift wrapped it. This is for real. And that's I put a bow on the top and I left it on his desk.
That's right. That's
and this was like one of the many little things that we did during Keep Ourselves Occupied.
Jeez.
Where are we? Okay.
I don't know.
I would say 200 million.
Come on, be serious. I'm going to give you a clue. Rob guessed a million. Think of Price is Right rules and you'll win.
Let's see. So Bob Barker was cremated?
No.
Oh.
You don't want to go over.
Oh, okay. All right. So 700,000.
Good guess. But both guesses are way over.
You love that. You love that.
I do love that.
You love when we're wrong.
Well, because with Rob's guess, if it's a million a week, we'd be depleted, in a few years.
Yeah, but also I didn't consider people that are still just burying themselves. I was thinking of all this.
Yeah. Okay. And they don't bury themselves.
That's where you went wrong.
That would be
That's a great money-saving tip, though.
Bury yourself. That would be great. An invention. If you think you're sick enough that you're about to die, go in the backyard, get some device, the bury yourself kit.
Yes.
Have it be done.
By Hasbro. This is a very silly show.
This reminds me of last week when we replayed Fleshy Inner Cheeks, which was all over the place. Here you go. Thank you for the game show music, Rob. In the last week, 38,462 cremations have occurred in the U.S.
I would have thought more.
I would have thought more, too. Yeah,
way more.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you, let me give you, here's another fact. How many cremations are now more popular than burials? Give me a rough percentage out of 100%. What percentage of people are being cremated now?
Oh.
It's more than burials.
70%?
Oh, very close. Rob?
I'll take the under. 69%.
63%.
Oh, we're both over, though.
You spend too much time in Vegas, Rob. I see what you did there. You did there.
Price
well, you
right
could
rules.
Say that, or you could say card sharks. It was the same premise of the game show Card Sharks.
Isn't that interesting? And now there's a new category that's not nearly, it's nowhere near this. It's like 2%, but increasing interest in green funerals. Which, do you know what that is, Gary?
Yes. Once people have been diagnosed with a certain fungus, they're buried as quickly as possible because they start to look like toads.
Right.
Or the creature from the Black Lagoon. And it's really ugly. So they get them in the ground as fast as possible.
Right. This one's going to be a green funeral. No, people are now interested in either like just being put in. Well, sometimes it's a regular pine box, which will, I guess, break down easily.
Oh, it will.
But sometimes they're just wrapped in like burlap or something and thrown in the ground. Not thrown in, but put in the ground.
You're so delicate.
Wouldn't you go to that funeral? It's going to be a green funeral. We're going to wrap them in burlap, throw them in the ground. You would go see that.
Well, you know you're going to go home really quickly or go grab the hors d'oeuvres after the funeral, you know?
But I'm kind of interested in that. Decaying naturally, no embalming, and it happens pretty fast.
You
and
want to start that now?
No. Oh. Because, see, I don't like either of the other options. I don't like being buried in a coffin. Because I'm claustrophobic, and I know it doesn't make sense. You'll be dead, and I don't really relish the thought of being, burned up in 30 minutes.
No, I don't either. I've always said that I would like Sarah to just leave me on the sofa, and if you want, you can put a newspaper over my face if you don't want to see the eyes roll up in my head or stare at you. They could be staring at you.
Right. Well, that's true.
But
that's
she said it might start to smell after a while.
Yes,
and I
it
didn't
will.
Really, I don't think I will.
No, you will. And here's the crazy thing. It just takes a couple of days and you start to smell.
Yes. Yeah, and rigor mortis sets in about 10 minutes, I think, right?
Well, it does start early. I'm
Tony,
sorry.
Will you entertain a question? If yeah, you yes. do end up.
You didn't wait for
yourself.
An answer. You did not wait for an answer. You said, would you entertain a question? And you went right into it.
That's right. That's
and
okay.
actually, this goes for you too, Gary.
Okay.
If you were to be cremated, if that's how the things happen, where would you want your ashes scattered, or would you Ooh. Want to stay in a vase?
Oh, that's.
Can I answer?
Yeah, you go first.
I want my ashes to be scattered in Tony's house.
Where they will go unnoticed because of the clutter. No, it's not that bad.
I just want to punish him with my ashes. That's all.
First of all, Rob, I don't want to be in a vase. I'd rather be in an urn, which is where they put the ashes.
Okay, yeah, I suppose you're right. Suppose you're right.
What do I? That's a good question. I have to think about that. I think maybe in an urn, but then
not in Times Square.
No, where Good Morning America was?
Oh, yeah, no. You know, so
it's gone
Charlie
now.
Can visit.
It's gone.
Yeah.
I guess,
so who
yeah,
can
so,
visit?
No,
so,
Charlie can visit. You're great.
Tony, why don't you do it at one of the places where you spend most of your time? How about the dry cleaners?
Every time Gary calls me, I seem to be going to the dry cleaner. I had a falling out with my dry cleaner. That'll be another episode.
Oh, what a shock.
Oh my God! All right,
can we do the show, please?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm going to ask you. I have another since we last saw you, and yeah. because I know that there's something you want to do, so it relates to that. Should I do that now, and then we do that, and then take a break after, or what?
No, let's tease let's this go. Great thing, and oh. then we'll go away, and then we'll come back.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's what we will do.
You asked him, but he sounded bossy.
Right. My final thing I will say about the cremation thing. Here's the only thing I've told Rhonda and Connor and everybody. Here's my thing. If I'm going to be cremated, just make triple sure that I am dead. I don't want to, you know, that would be awful.
Should we do that now?
Awful. I know who's going to be dead in a moment. Let's take a break. We will be back with the, first 5 minutes of the show after this.
Yes. It's a mini series.
And now back to You Gotta Be Kidding Me. Here's Tony and Gary.
Yes, indeed. All right. Welcome back to the show. Okay. So we're still doing since we last met you or since we last saw you.
Saw you.
And so, yeah, I have another one for you.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Oh, man. I love that. Rob, you are so good. Thank you, man. All right, here's one. And Gary suggested this for an apparent reason. So how much new information, and I'm going to ask both of you again, how much new information did you receive and now recall during the last week? So how much new information entered your head and that you can remember from the last week? Gary, I will go to you first. How much do you remember from the last week of new stuff?
Right. So you're just looking for a percentage here.
A percentage, yes.
Yeah. Ask the question again one more time.
How much new information have you held on to, do you remember, since we last saw you a week ago? So that would be new experiences, new things you learned, etc.
All the new things that came in the last week.
Yeah.
I remember 70% of it.
70%. Rob, what do you think you remember from the last week?
I can tell you three things I forgot. I would say we are such a short attention span people. I would say 30%.
Okay. Rob, once again, is closer. On average, the average person retains 10 to 20% of any new information that they receive.
It's a disaster.
Isn't that crazy? So basically, you've forgotten just about everything that happened to you during the last week. Now, I get this. I'm not, you know, when you think about it, you would think, oh, it's got to be 50% or something. No. The other day, so I get up in the morning, I take my shower, put on deodorant, get ready, get dressed, go to work. Later that day, I was moving around a lot at work, and I started feeling like I was getting a little sweaty under my arms. And I thought, did I put deodorant on this morning? I could not remember if I had put it on or not. And part of me thought, we all probably have routines. We do everything the same way every day, every morning. And I know I do that. If I got distracted for a couple of seconds, it's possible I didn't put it on.
Hmm.
That's weird.
Are you able to stop at your dry cleaners and maybe change the shirt and put the deodorant on there?
Well, as you know, all my shirts are at the dry cleaner except the one I'm wearing on any given day.
That's right.
That's why I stop by every day.
But you know what? In terms of this information, we're not saying that you forget everything. What we're saying is that we are so filled with information that over the last week, whatever you learned that was new, most of it is gone.
Right.
So it's not like you forgot everything, but
right,
you forgot a lot of the new things that happened over the course of the week.
The brain is fascinating to me. I love reading about the brain. The brain is constantly processing, okay, what do I need to hold on to?
Right.
Am I going to keep this? No, I don't need that. I don't need this. And so it's shuffling around stuff, and it decides that's gone.
Right.
And you know, okay, what we got left is 20%, so I can have room for future stuff.
I've produced a lot of – I'm sorry, Gary. I just want to throw this in if I may.
Oh, you may.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to wait for you to answer.
Take all the time in this episode you want.
Did you hear what he said? He wanted to wait for you to answer.
I'm sorry.
No, I've produced a lot of podcasts, and I've hated almost every one of them. But I did I used to do a lot of boring stuff. But there was one show that talked a lot about brain stuff, and it was horrible. But one thing I took away from it is when you are in REM sleep at night, when you're most deepest sleep, that's when your brain moves short-term memory stuff into your long-term stuff.
Yes.
So the stuff that you keep happens during sleep. However, sometimes your brain gets mixed up, and that's why you have weird dreams.
Well, now here's something I've read about dreams, and it relates to that, but it's a little bit different. I have read, and this makes sense to me. When you wake up from a dream, you have like something startling happens in the dream and it wakes you up. You have just awakened yourself out of an REM sleep or out of a period where the brain is organizing, like you just said, Rob. And because we are linear thinkers, we want things to kind of make sense. You immediately put some kind of semblance of a story together for all these jumbled things. That's why you say, this dream made no sense. I was with Gary. We were in a car, but we
that
were
makes no sense.
Disney World, you know, whatever. That would make sense. But Gary and I, we were on the Artemis II, you know, and a big bowl of spaghetti went by the window, whatever. But it's because you're interrupting the brain organizing and you're putting a story on it, which does make sense.
I love that. I like the theory of that.
Yeah, very interesting.
Because you got to try to figure out what that... Most of the time at night, you have no idea why you dreamt anything, right?
That's right.
And you're trying to figure out, what am I trying to tell myself? And maybe that's pointless.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So that's your thing about memory. Very interesting.
Love it. Yeah, so that actually leads just miraculously into something that I wanted to talk about for a second.
Whoa.
Almost as if it was planned, which
is not
what we do, is it? So you know that last week I was in L.A. and we stayed with friends. And the friend, David, was telling me about the fact that he recently started taking Nereva, which is a memory supplement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you are.
I've heard of this.
Okay.
Yep.
So look at this. Nereva Plus. He started taking it and he said, you know, whether you need it or not, I mean, I started taking it because I thought that maybe there were some changes and, you know, maybe I'm not remembering things as well. I started taking it and I realized I feel like there's a difference. Well, before I even left his house, I ordered it from Amazon.
Oh, wow.
And I started taking it. But what I noticed that is what you and I just love about advertising. Rob, could you put that very same one up again? Okay, so that's the regular Nereva. It says Plus, but then there's another one.
Oh, no.
There's another one. Could you put that one up, Rob? Okay, this is Nereva Ultra.
Ultra.
Yeah. And then let me show you this. Prevagen has a very similar sort of thing where they get... So it's Prevagen Regular.
Right.
And then Prevagen Extra Strength.
Extra Strength.
So here's what just drives me crazy. So what are they selling you? If like you only want to remember some stuff,
something, right, you know, exactly,
you're going to get the regular, right? but if you think you're going to get more memory out of one product or the other, right, aren't you going to buy the one that's obviously more expensive that right, says this is the better one? But if you want to get regular, go ahead right, and get regular.
Right, right. Who would opt for just regular?
Right.
I don't need to remember everything. You know, not that the extra strength is you're going to remember everything. But what I also love is the two boxes. Everything else is exactly the same
yes,
on the box. Unique
yes,
ingredient. Test yes, it safe. Once daily. Prevagen for your brain, except for regular strength, extra strength.
So shouldn't something new be checked off down there on the extra
right,
strength
right,
one?
Right, there should like, be one more thing.
Remember now, every sexual encounter.
Right.
Remember everything that you ever did that where you hit a home run in life.
They
something.
Should just, there should be, a, you know how they put the, like when on Batman when they had the POW sign, that little... there should be one of those on there that says, now with extra memory. Now
exactly,
you're going to start remembering other people's stuff.
But what if you're able to be selective by ordering these things and you say, I don't want to remember those girlfriends.
Right.
So right, I want to buy the one that eliminates previous girlfriends.
You know,
like
it's
so
just
stupid.
Ridiculous. It is stupid. Here's what I think happened at some point, and I'll bet I know where this started. It's all about advertising. And
right,
I think that they have figured out that we, stupid people, we fall for this stuff. Because, and I'll bet the first time I ever remember something being advertised as extra strength was Tylenol.
Right.
You know, probably 25 years ago, maybe even more than that. And I remember, oh, you know, my headache's really bad. I'm going to take extra strength Tylenol.
Right.
Does anyone even buy regular Tylenol anymore?
Well, if you think that generally you only have a mild headache and you can predict that,
yeah,
then you might as well get the regular one, right?
Right,
but
right. Since, yes, you have to know in advance. Right,
right, right. What am I predisposed to?
Right.
Oh, I don't need the extra strength. That's an extra $3.
But I think they have figured out that we respond to that. We, you know, if it's extra strength, we're going to buy it.
Right.
If there's something extra about it, we're going to buy it.
So this made me look in the drugstore under all of the supplements.
Oh, okay.
Tony, take a look. Every single supplement
goodness,
in every store has a better version of the same. It's like vitamin C. It should just simply say better vitamin C.
Right, right, right.
Even better
right,
vitamin C. If you never want to get sick, this is the vitamin C. But there are stages of every single vitamin in the store. And so which one are you going to buy? The $4 one that you're going to think,
right,
well, that's not really going to do me any good. But if I get the $30 vitamin C, I'm never going to get a cold again.
But here's what also, because of that, here's what factors into it, which we in the store will be doing this crazy calculation. Okay, I have a really bad headache. Regular is $4. Extra strength is $8. Is my headache $4 more, worse? You know. So you're
yes,
also trying to figure out, I'll just get the regular.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly,
I'll have a little bit of headache left, but, you know, at least I'll have $4 more in my pocket.
The only way that we can get this to work is if you're able to go into a drugstore and buy individual pills.
Well, that was
like,
right, right.
Excuse
exactly,
me, Joe.
Right.
I've got a really bad headache. Can I get the ultra extra strength
right,
super
right,
Tylenol?
Right,
oh
right,
yeah, how many? One.
But and you just commented because yes, now in many cases there's regular, extra strength, and ultra.
Yes.
You know, what that does, I think that gives you superhuman powers, I believe.
I think it does, and I think it also gives you less money.
<That's>,
right?
That is the main thing.
But
that
we are fools.
Funny.
We
that
are fools.
Funny. But you think you've noticed a difference already?
Oh, no. No.
Oh.
No. He said he did.
He did.
He,
okay,
he had been taking right, it for several months, and he said,
okay,
I really feel like I'm, and he's a writer.
Right.
And
okay,
he's a very, he's a working writer. He works all the time. He writes NCIS. He was one of the executive producers of Empire, you know, wrote
yeah,
a lot of those.
Okay. Oh,
so
great,
he's a working guy.
Okay.
And he said, I feel sharper and I feel like the scripts are coming easier.
Okay.
Well,
all
if
right,
you, maybe
that's
if you believe it, It happens.
Now, but here's the other thing with stuff like we are reminded, Gary, yes, of, I think from episode one, your problem with Reynolds Wrap, that they also have Heavy Duty.
Yes.
Although I will say, I've had many people since that first episode say to me after that, Gary doesn't get it. The Heavy Duty, and now I forget, they've said to me what it's actually for. But now I forget. But there is a reason for it. It's I don't know what it is.
I don't buy it. So there's a reason to buy the one that's not quite as strong.
Right.
But then you don't know if tomorrow you're going to make something or store something that would require the one that's extra strong. So why don't you just buy the extra strong one? Because you don't know what the hell you're going to be doing.
And you know what's terrible? This could prompt fights in relationships and stuff. Honey, where's the heavy duty? I finished the turkey. We only have regular. You knew I was going to make a turkey. It's heavy duty. Come on.
This is what husbands and wives fight about.
Right, that's right. This is leading to marriage breakups.
Now, does Rhonda use Reynolds Wrap for anything?
Well, we both use it, yes. Mm-hmm. And
what do you use it for, Tony?
To wrap up, like, leftovers. Yeah, leftovers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Also, improved television reception.
Which is what we used to use it for.
Yeah, we did.
I suspect most of our listeners know that, but if there are any young ones, they're like, what?
There aren't any.
Yeah. I mean, when we used to, isn't it very, here's what's interesting about that, Rob. Now, you've just prompted a whole other thing here. This is amazing, and our listeners, I want you to weigh in on this as well on our social media. Give us comments, because I believe in this general age range, we all experienced the exact same thing. The TV on a stand, the reception wouldn't be bad. I don't know who came up with the idea of putting aluminum foil on the antenna that was on top of the TV and moving it around to get better reception. It did seem to work. We also all had the TV with the dial. You had to turn the knob to get to different channels. At some point, that always broke off. Didn't we all have pliers that we used to use to change, to grab that little plastic piece? Rob, you too?
Absolutely. And I don't know why, before I was born, there must have been like a staff of people in my family's home that would go around and break antennas off television. Because no television had an antenna. We did eventually switch to coat hangers.
Well,
that worked. That worked.
Yes.
It does. Yes. Yeah.
Did you get the hangers from the dry cleaners?
I had such a great relationship with my dry cleaner when I was two.
I remember doing it. You would roll up the aluminum foil and stick it on the antenna. But you know what's not working? I keep, when I don't have like good reception from Fios or whatever I'm using, I've put the aluminum foil on the modem and it doesn't seem to work at all.
In fact, it probably hurts. You're probably getting less reception. And when the cable guy comes over, he's going to say, here's your problem. Your modem's wrapped in heavy duty aluminum foil.
But the chicken still looks good.
If you were going to do it, you should have used the regular aluminum foil. It's not as thick. All right. I want to do a segment. This is a new segment. It's called, I think it's new, In the News. And this is because a couple of things happened during the week that I thought were just amazing. One of them is pretty amazing. Gary.
The other one sucks? The other one's not so good?
No, the other one, I'm interested in it for a different reason. But this one, I think you're going to like. This is an actual news report of something that happened, I think, in California. This is a news story, Gary. You should be interested in this because you do, as you've established, some private eye work, and a lot of that is about insurance fraud, trying to prove that people are trying to defraud their insurance companies by saying, I've got an injury, my roof was damaged by... Thank you. My roof was damaged by lightning when it was really, they were up there doing something they shouldn't have done. Whatever. It's insurance fraud. Mm-hmm. This is a story. Rob, let's just play. This was as it was reported on the news. I think this is from Inside Edition. So listen, and if you're watching, we'll play about the first minute of this story.
alleged insurance scams that we've ever heard about. Take a look at this video. The owner of the car says it was a bear that scratched up the interior. But authorities say it wasn't a bear at all. It was him dressed up in a bear suit like this. Stephen Fabian with the story. You got to see to believe.
Caught on camera, it looks like a giant bear ransacking a Rolls Royce. And here a massive beast appears to tear apart a Mercedes. Now a ferocious bear seems to be at it again, ripping into another Mercedes. How could a bear target three cars on the same property in Lake Arrowhead, California? Turns out it's alleged to be a giant hoax.
Authorities say it was actually a human wearing a bear costume, much like this one, using sharp metal-like claws to scratch up the interior of the cars. And then that fraudulent insurance claim was turned in.
One of the wildest, dumbest alleged
frauds. There you
frauds.
Go. That's all you need to see. Isn't but, that crazy?
But how much are you going to make on that, though? Right. What's the point?
Right. Well, I guess try. I don't know. And they're ruining their own vehicles.
I know.
A Rolls Royce and two Mercedes.
Wow. But I mean, if you want the money, run them off a cliff. I mean,
something, right.
You know, you're not just going to scratch up the seat with a bear costume.
This is what I love. It's such an elaborate plan, but it's so stupid. The person went out and bought a bear costume. And if you look at the video, you know, the bear, you can see, you know, that maybe the bear's on Ozempic because some of the skin doesn't seem to fit very well because it's just a flappy bear costume.
That wasn't thought out. Was not thought out. Those are not good crooks.
Right. You know? They bought some kind of device to scrape on the seats, and it doesn't even look like natural claw marks. It looks like some metal rake or something that was used to...
I mean, it could have looked like somebody really had a kind of a wild night in the back of the Rolls Royce, you know, but certainly not three cars.
Rob has just put up a picture of Yogi Bear on our screen. That's that's one of the few impressions I do. I was a stand-up comedian.
Now you have to.
I do this, and Rob didn't know this. Here we go. Hey there, boo-boo. I'm going to go get me up. Picnic basket. Pretty good, right?
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Okay, Yogi.
Rob, do you have anything to say? Rob?
I'm just enjoying the show.
Tony has shown off his impressions.
Boy.
He's told great stories. He's done. I mean, this has been, we've been all over the place
yeah,
today.
Yeah, we really have.
This
all right,
unreal.
I'm not done. I got another news story.
You were done? You're not done.
More impressions?
No more impressions.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Ed Sullivan might sound a little like this.
Now, these four young men from Liverpool.
The Beatles!
Right here on our stage.
Oh, no, that's good, Gary.
That wasn't bad. Tony, you do a mean Tallulah Bankhead, don't you?
Tallulah Bankhead, Rob. Tallulah Bankhead.
Haley Joel Osment.
I see dead people.
Thank you.
Thank
you. There you go. Doesn't work as well if we have to prompt it. But
so many buttons.
All right. I don't know if either of you saw this. There have been certain acts, musical groups that I've always wanted. Oh, will they ever get back together? I hope they get back together. Oh, come on, get back together. Well, it was announced this week. The Pussycat Dolls are getting back together.
Wow, my dream came true.
They are going on tour of 2026. Yeah, there they are. Oh, my goodness, this is Nicole Scherzinger. Oh, listen, okay. Listen, remember this?
I know you want it. I know you want it. It's easy to see.
It's easy to see.
Mm.
And in the back of your mind, I know you should be home with me.
Okay, sexy video. Is that? Oh yeah, Busta Rhymes is in this. Busta Rhymes did a guest rap on this. That's called "Don't Ya" by the Pussycat Dolls from 2003, 4, 5, something like that?
That's right after he changed his name for Busta Hyman, wasn't it?
I think it was 2009.
Sorry.
That we did that. But yeah, they're very enthusiastic young ladies.
Sorry. I'm apologizing to anybody who's offended.
Yeah. Make him come back. We need him.
I think, okay. I think I had a little reaction there.
Yeah.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
Anyway. Are you excited by this?
Yeah. I got to tell you something about Nicole Scherzinger. That's okay. Really one of the reasons why I'm not excited. Otherwise, I really would be. Is so I saw her in Sunset Boulevard. She just She won
How
the Tony Award. Oh my God!
She
won the Tony Award. So the show was amazing.
Wow.
She was the most amazing thing I've ever seen on Broadway, maybe ever.
But are you serious?
I'm serious, but here's how she's killing it for me.
Okay.
All the stuff that she puts on her story or anything that she runs on social media,
right?
It's all like, it's all
the pose.
Every single thing is some sexy, hot pose where she's... Why can't you let somebody else even allude to the fact that you might be sexy? But every single thing that she does is bare skin and she's beautiful. It's not hard to look at, but it is hard to see you celebrate yourself all the time, which is killing my version of what an amazing performer she is. I almost don't care anymore. And this is a far cry from how I felt when I saw Sunset Boulevard.
You don't like bare skin?
I do when it's on a bear.
Hey there, boo-boo. Yeah. I've got bare skin. Except, boo-boo, get this. I'm naked, but I'm wearing a collar and a tie. And a hat. What All about right. some pants, Yogi?
Wow. Wow. Okay, this means that every episode you have to figure out a way to work in Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear, right.
Okay? anyway,
I want to ask you a
Nicole,
question.
Nicole, not happy with her. Okay,
okay, but see, you're not with it, man, and you gotta get with it, man.
Oh, but that expression was.
Yeah, right.
You're not with it, man.
Right,
that's like a Frankie Avalon movie.
Yeah, baby, you're the ginchiest.
Hey, Rob, where's Buddy Hackett with Robert Q. Lewis and Troy Donahue?
Robert
You're
Q.
not
Lewis.
With it, man.
See dead people.
Robert Q. Lewis, you are so, oh my goodness, you're so in the past.
Beach
but here's
blanket
the thing.
Bingo.
Yes, I know. But this is what all the girls and the ladies do now. I mean, it's all about self-promotion, getting clicks, and I mean, this is common. And so I'll bet this is true of Nicole, because I know it's true of most of these starlets or influencers or whatever they are. They all have one pose. They have decided I look better at this angle with the lips pouted out a little bit, or, you know, that's my better side. And
you
all,
look pretty good like that.
Thank you very much, Anton. I'm doing the thing. You know who's famous for this? Mariah Carey. If you put up a whole lineup of Mariah Carey pictures, they're all from the same angle. And because she has decided that's my good side, my face isn't symmetrical, whatever. And so that's what they do now. It's all about. And listen. I'll bet Nicole Scherzinger, I'm going to look her up right now on Instagram, see how many followers she has.
Oh,
it's,
millions.
It's going to be in the millions. Right. Who is that?
Robert Q. Lewis.
Rob has quickly found a photo of
Robert
just
Q. Lewis.
Lewis.
Just have to go to his Instagram.
But Rob, Instagram. Nobody knows who he is. Just us.
I think it's important that we do this. And
does he have an Instagram?
And he does not, because he I believe not. He has passed.
Right.
But next Nicole week we'll discuss Harvey Lembeck.
Scherzinger. How do you spell? Oh, there it is. Okay. Guess how many followers she has. Oh, my goodness. Oh!
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Rob, you can put up some of those pictures if you want, but I mean, it's
oh my goodness.
It's all skin, okay. And she loves herself from every angle, Tony.
But let me tell you
she
something.
She doesn't have a favorite side.
She's not showing as much skin as some do. And, you know, I mean, she does have the... Let me tell you something that I saw...
Oh, you go ahead. You tell me. Go
well,
on.
Well, because now you're a little ticked at her, and I like her, but I'm a little ticked at her. There's a clip of her. You can go on YouTube and find it. She was a guest. I think it was... I can't remember if it's Jay Leno or Conan O'Brien. I think it's Conan. She is wearing a low-cut voluptuous dress with the boobs pushed up. You know how that effect.
Yes.
You're going to look at that. And so Conan takes a glimpse, and she says, eyes up here, Conan, eyes up here.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's
right.
Ridiculous.
Right, you did everything you could to get eyes down there.
Right.
And now you don't like it.
Right.
And it's not like he's, you off.
Yeah, it does. It's not like he's, you know, staring at them intently. He took a glimpse, right. You know, and you've presented them that way. So
did she bring it up again after he took her home?
Well, then she's... No, then she was happy. There,
Rob, this is mild. This is mild. If you had a video of her walking and showing, you know,
it's not that kind of show, Gary. Right.
And remember, all the buttons, so many buttons.
Yeah, yeah.
But let me, so I want to ask you a question, Gary, mm-hmm. because you loved her performance. You said she was great.
Yeah.
Knowing you, I'll bet you went into it with kind of a different expectation because she was a pussycat doll. She's on one of those judge shows, Masked Singer, I think. I'll bet you didn't expect a lot out of her.
Well, Tony Perkins, I will tell you that when I saw Sunset Boulevard, I didn't know she was in the Pussycat Dolls. I just knew that there was all this press about this amazing person.
Right.
And I thought, well, so many people have played this role. What makes her so special?
Okay.
Her voice is insane.
Okay.
And you know what? I'll probably go see her in another Broadway show if it's not about her showing off her body.
Well, now, see, that would bring me to the show. If that
you're a dog. And we're different that way.
I appreciate. That got a ding? I appreciate the human form.
Oh, yeah, you do. How many pussy cat houses did we have to go to in New York when we were hanging together?
That's not true.
That is not true. Rhonda, I never wanted to go.
That is not true. Don't even put that out there.
We used to wander the city looking for these cat houses, you know? And I just wanted to go home to my wife.
But I made Gary go. You're my producer.
Yeah, you have to go.
Right.
Yeah, you can get me together with Roker, but what about this?
Right. Oh, my God. All right. I think that's going to be it.
Really?
Yeah. Where are we time-wise? I think we're done.
Can I just do a line from Scent of a Woman?
Yeah.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Well, so, I mean, this is... So, folks, you don't know this, but I think we're beginning... You know how on Jimmy Kimmel... he always advertises Matt Damon is going to... Oh, he used to do this. I don't think he does.
Yes.
Matt Damon's going to... Oh, we ran out of time for Matt Damon.
Yeah.
We are developing our own Matt Damon because there's a segment that we have thought was going to form the heart of an episode for 3 weeks in a row, and we keep not getting to it.
Right.
Fortunately, it's evergreen, and when we do it, it's going to be great. But yeah, I think we're out of time. I don't think we have time for this.
I don't either. I don't think we have
Rob,
time.
Rob, in your professional producer role, unless you're looking at videos of Nicole Scherzinger, what do you think?
How's that? I was going to say, the longer you sit on this segment, the more exciting it becomes because it becomes more vintage.
Oh.
But it's very solid. It's very entertaining. But it would be silly to try and just sort of wedge it in now. So let's do it next week.
Hey,
or in August. It's fine. Yeah.
More vintage says you.
Right.
That was my rap name, Mo Vintage.
You guys. All right. God. That is going to do it for this. What is this? Episode 8 of You Gotta Be Kidding Me. This is, you know, this is such a joy. I cannot, this is such a joy. We all have lives and things going on. You know, we're all getting older, and so things start to happen. Gary's got his neck issue. I've got, you know,
exactly.
issues below the waist. And, you know, that's not true either.
No, actually, you have no issue.
Let's just say I won't be visiting any pussycat houses in the foreseeable future.
Well, you can visit.
But you can't do no business.
No. But this way you don't have to pay.
I love you guys.
I love
folks,
you too.
Tell your friends, tell your family, listen to the show. We'll be back next week with another episode of You Gotta Be Kidding Me. We'll see you next time.
You Bye-bye. See what you're missing?
Thank you for listening to another episode of You Gotta Be Kidding Me. Make sure you continue your visit on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on YouTube. This is Donnie Simpson speaking for You Gotta Be Kidding Me, a production of the Podcaster's Warehouse. And yes, I endorse this podcast. What? You gotta be kidding me.